Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. My name is Mark Striegel. I am so glad you could join us for this episode. What we are doing on this episode is I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes just off the cuff here. And then we're going to get into episode 10 of Metal Wraps. Metal Wraps is one of my other podcasts. I do some other podcasts besides Talking Metal, although Talking Metal is my main first and foremost podcast. But Metal Wraps is a show I do with Mitch Joel, who also has a couple other podcasts, including Six Pixels of Separation, which is a marketing and communication type podcast. Mitch is kind of an internet marketing expert, and he does a great talk show with the Six Pixels of Separation podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes. And then he also does a great music podcast called Groove, which is the NoTreble.com podcast. And he recently spoke with Robert Trujillo of Metallica, which is a tremendous thing considering Metallica never talk with podcasts. At least as far as I know, they don't. So there you go. Yeah, check it out. Groove, the NoTreble.com podcast with Mitch Joel, who I do a show with called Metal Wraps. And then, of course, there's Mitch LaFon, who all you guys know. He is the host, former host of Three Sides of the Coin podcast. And he has his own show now, which I am involved with, called One-on-One with Mitch LaFon. I sometimes co-host episodes with him. I was editing all of them together, but he learned GarageBand and is doing it himself, which is actually great. We've been keeping Talking Metal going here. I need to redo the intros because, as we know, Eddie Trunk now is the number one hard rock and heavy metal podcast, and I believe Jamie Josta's show would probably qualify as number two. However, I keep my eye on those charts, and we do sometimes end up back in that number one spot, which is just incredible considering, you know, we're not big-name people. We don't have a big company behind us like Podcast One or any podcasting company. We're just doing this on our own, you know, so cheers to you guys for supporting us. And when I say us, I don't even know who I'm talking about anymore, because John, another reason I need to redo these intros to the show, is you know, barely on any of these shows anymore. I've tried to pull him back in. I know he did have some family stuff going on that was pretty major, and he was on tour with Ace as Ace's tour manager. He works for Ace as Ace's assistant, personal manager type guy too. Worked on the Ace book, worked on the Ace album. So, you know, I mean, he's, and then he works at Gibson, and then he has a full-time job at Nickelodeon. So I don't know. I kind of feel like if he wanted to do this show, he would be here doing it. But listen, this show doesn't pay. The other shows pay, and he's got some other exciting gigs going on. And I hope he does come back with us here at some point. But for the time being, it's just me, you know, and I love bringing in co-hosts. We had Chris from the Decibel Geek Show. We had Victor Ruiz from Mars Attacks. I really want to do more shows with Victor. I totally miss doing the shows with him, and want to get back at that. We used to do them live, but now that I let go of the live 365 stream, we're not doing them live, but I think we can do them on Spreaker or something. I mean, other people are doing live shows on Spreaker. Why not do them there? I pay Spreaker $50 a month. I should be able to do something with those people. So I don't know. I don't know. Right now, Talking Metal is just me in reality. On paper, it's still John and myself, but we'll see what happens to that. I have a major announcement, which I hinted about on Facebook, which I'm going to announce in the very next episode, episode 515, which will feature special guest Rick Allen from Def Leppard. And yeah, it's a major announcement, and some of you people have guessed on Facebook and on Twitter, and no, Talking Metal is not coming back to Fuse. No, I didn't get a serious gig. And those two things would probably be even more major than the actual announcement I'm gonna mention on 515. But for me personally, on a personal level, it is a big announcement. And yes, it does have something to do with metal and hard rock, and it does have something to do with television. So you will hear all about that on episode 515. The only reason I'm not telling you right now is because I got to actually tip my current employer off to it before I make an announcement. I don't think too many people I currently work with listen to this show, especially my bosses, but I know, you never know. You don't want people talking and rumors flying and whatnot. So hang tight for that. Big announcement, big deal to me. And it might be not a big deal to you guys at all. But it's really a triumphant thing for me, and I can't wait to dive into it. So stay tuned for that. Some clues there. All right, so on that note, I said I was going to talk for 10 minutes. We're almost at 10 minutes. I want to remind you that Talking Metal is a part of the Talking Metal digital family, which includes podcasts like One on One with Mitch LaFon, Metal Raps, Mars Attacks, Talking Rock, which I don't do too often, but I'd love to. And yeah. But yeah, we're going to keep going with the co-hosts on Talking Metal. Joey from Rock Strikes 10, I want to get him back too. So the co-hosts are fun, and I think it adds an different element. And it would be great if John could come back for once a month show or something, but who knows? We'll see about that. Oh, man. You know, I was just in Urban Outfitters. Do you guys know this store? A lot of you guys probably don't like it, but I actually like some of their clothes and stuff, but they just opened this new Urban Outfitters in Midtown Manhattan on like 35th and Broadway. And the vinyl selection they have in there is outstanding. I mean, they had like off the beating path, like Accept Records, Wendy O. Williams, Cinderella, Guns N' Roses, Maiden, Triumph, all sorts of stuff. I was very impressed. I mean, not to mention stuff outside of James Brown, stuff outside of the metal, hard rock world. Testament was in there. Definitely check it out. I mean, I'm so into vinyl right now. I mean, it's really I've never let vinyl go ever since I was a kid. I always had, even in the 90s, had the turntable in my apartment and would occasionally buy vinyl. But I am back into it full-fledged right now, picking up all sorts of cool stuff. I was just at a place out in Hoboken called Tunes and grabbed a bunch of great vinyl there. So, me loving the vinyl right now. Just love the way it sounds, and it's fun. It's fun to sit down in front of the fire. We've got a fire going right now. Have a glass of wine, put on the vinyl, and listen to it. So, there you go. Let's get into episode 10 of Metal Raps. This will be the last episode of Metal Raps you hear on this stream. At least I think it will be.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode number 10 of Metal Raps. As usual, we are joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm great. And also with us is One on One with Mitch LaFon. Mitch.
Yes, good day.
Doing well, sir.
Surviving.
So, we chose a topic there was a day in 1975, if you will recall, that a glorious album was brought forth, a double album, back when they did these sort of things called Kiss Alive.
Yes.
For many, that album changed their lives. I mean, look, it set Mitch on a course where he would eventually interview the person who created Gene Simmons' codpiece. So, I mean, Mitch will interview anybody who's had any relation to Kiss or something. I don't know.
That's right. Pretty much.
But the band announced this week that they are doing their Kiss Cruise with a K, not a C, of course. And this year, I got to say, guys, before we start, I laughed. But this year, they're going to be doing the entire Kiss Alive set in its entirety on the Kiss Cruise in the sort of main area, which is the inside venue. And now, why did I laugh? I'm a huge Kiss fan. I was in the Kiss Army. If you come to my office, you will see a 1978 Kiss Alive 2, like massive tin garbage can that I was given as a kid that I still have. I love Kiss. I just thought it was funny. Like, they're going to play an entire live album live in its entirety. And that live album is like every greatest hit that they've always played live over the course of their crazy. I mean, is it just sort of like a sort of like little kitschy thing they're doing here, Mitch?
Well, you know, listen, it's the sixth anniversary celebration of the Kiss Alive 35 tour. That's really what they're doing. I mean, listen, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. They have played those same 15 songs for 40 years, and now they're going to play them again.
In order.
And of course, what made Kiss Alive magical was the Peter Criss drum solo and the Ace Frehley sound. So they're going to redo the whole thing without those two guys. I have no idea if they'll do the drum solo. I certainly hope not. And you know, they're going against what the whole cruise was about. The whole cruise is about hearing songs like The Oath and Mainline and all these, the rarities. Now you're basically seeing the show that you would see at the Bell Center or at Madison Square Garden any year between 1975 and 2014, but on water.
Okay, but let's not be. I mean, I'm the first one to be like the most sarcastic and skeptical. My first thought when I saw the press release was, I wonder if they can fill stadiums now. I kid. My GNR reference, but first of all, Parasite and She, do they play those songs often? I don't even know.
Yeah, they just played – when I saw them in Vegas, Parasite was the fourth song they did.
But were they practicing for the cruise, Mark, or did they actually play the song regularly?
No, they played it right. It's interesting. Okay. It was the fourth song in Ace's set, too, on his most recent tour. Okay. So just
she,
a little –
Is she played often? Because I was trying to look at the track listing, and I was like, what songs haven't we seen a million times by them? And the only two that I could pull out was Parasite and She that looked like they –
Let Me Go.
Well,
yeah,
listen,
I guess, well, they, yeah.
No, Let Me Go is on every.
They played it live, don't they?
Let Me Go Rock and Roll has been in every set for the last 15 years. Parasite was played each and every night, of course, on the Alive 35 tour.
Okay.
But has been in and out recently in the last 5 years. You'll get it. And She on the 2004 tour was played almost every night, and then Spotty since then. But, I mean, these are not the rarities that people have been hoping for and waiting for. And you listen.
Mitch, did you have to Google that or did you know that?
I know that.
Oh, my God. That, you know? Like, Mark, did you not think he Googled that? I thought he Googled that.
I did not.
I don't know. That. Yeah.
I did not. I swear to God, I did not.
No,
Google
I totally
that.
Believe you. You're an amazing resource. So the other thing, the only part when I read this press release that I thought could be super interesting is that they said they're going to wear the original clothes and stuff. And I thought, listen, if they can bring the guy out who did the You Wanted the Best at the beginning, and if they could make the set even look like, you know, the old sort of cabs and that sort of thing and the old Peter Criss-like drum, that might be like photographic / video interesting. Am I crazy to think that that's the only thing they could do is make the actual performance look and feel like it's 1975?
Well, they'd have to. But by the way, you made fun of me interviewing the guy who did Gene's codpiece. The guy who does the you wanted the best is J.R. Smalling, and I just interviewed him last week.
You see? I can't. Fans of Metal Raps, I can't make this stuff up. Even when I try.
But he's got a new book, The Original Kiss Crew, and it's got a lot of great stories. So, but that was another thing.
Oh, that's awesome story. But Mitch, okay, you are, I mean, I consider myself a huge, like I always say, I was a huge fan of Kiss up until like Gene started getting really weird with Gene Simmons, Family Jewels, and that. Then I sort of really, I'm like, okay, I'm good, I've had enough. You are, you make playlists, you're tweeting. If you seeing this, are you like, this is like, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm thinking if you're going to do this on the cruise, you've missed the point of why people go on that cruise. I think it's a bad idea. We had the Kiss Alive 35 6 years ago, and I'll keep repeating it. We've been there. We've done that. You know, come up with a new concept, boys.
What if they did it with Peter and Ace? I'm just kidding.
listen, if they haven't done. The Alive 35 tour was, of course, with Eric and Tommy. So if they did it with Peter and Ace, that to me would be okay. That's a new concept.
Yeah, that would be.
I'm in. Or if they said, "Listen, we're going to do it without makeup and have Bruce come in and join us, and we'll be a 5-man band for the cruise." Okay, but doing it with Eric and Tommy like they did it 6 years ago, it's
just not special. You know, it doesn't.
It's retarded.
It almost feels like the residency was more special. Like, it's so weird to me to say that. But when I saw all the stuff happening about the residency and then hearing you speak about it, Mark, it felt like something a little bit different than all of the general whatevers.
Yeah, I mean, Kiss Alive is probably my favorite record of all time.
Yeah.
However, it just sounds like an easy way out for them. With this cruise, where you're going to have such diehards that are going to want to hear, you know, super obscure songs and would actually really enjoy that. You got to take the casual fan argument off the table.
Yes.
And you really need to give them some just real, you know, gems from the vault, some stuff that you wouldn't ever hear. I mean, that's what these people want to hear. And, that's not happening, obviously.
Okay, but that's the main stage. Like, I am guilty of spending countless nights going down the rabbit hole of YouTube, and I remember several nights being lost on these Kiss Cruise video clips. And they do a ton of that. They do these acoustic things and intimate, and they do shows. They do electric shows without their makeup. I mean, it's not just one. They don't just play once. So, you know, maybe they feel like we're already satiating that sort of obscurism, and they make jokes when they don't know the words and stuff in those other sets. But maybe they feel like this is sort of like a somewhat creative way to keep playing the same songs that we're just going to play anyways.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know what?
Wow, Mitch, man, if Mitch isn't bullish on this, I'm like totally depressed we even chose this as a topic.
No, but here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're not going to do this on the cruise. You know, last year they put out this big press release and it was on all the websites. Kiss is making a movie. And the fans reacted poorly to the producer, Alan Parker, to the poster, to the concept. And that has sort of vanished in a haze. And I think the fans, the way the fans are reacting to this Kiss Alive cruise idea, I think by the time October rolls around, it won't be that. I think they'll quietly let it dissipate and disappear. Because every Kiss show I've listened to or every fan board, they've all said, this is really stupid, boys. You got to do better. And I think by October, we're not even having this discussion anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to get some publicity to get some non-fanatical Kiss people on board of that cruise. But that maybe that's my own little sort of conspiracy theory in play. Mark. Big
yes,
week for
yes.
you. You nabbed an interview that actually I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear this. You've got Marty Friedman.
Yeah, Marty called us or Skyped in, I guess, from Japan. And he was just a pleasure to talk to. He has a great new record out that, I mean, it's within the last year called Inferno, which has all sorts of special guests and just great, great songs. And it's not all instrumental either. There's some songs that have vocals. And he was just a lot of fun to talk to. We spoke a lot about the Inferno record. And we spoke a lot about Jason Becker, who I just finally posted my interview with him, the old Cacophony days. And of course, we spoke a little bit about Megadeth, which was interesting because I'd been told that he doesn't want to talk about Megadeth. But how can you not ask him at least one question about Megadeth, which I did. And he gave me a pretty lengthy answer about, you know, rejoining the band, and he would definitely be into that if it were to come up. But he said, don't hold your breath. And he also said something that I found kind of interesting, that he's on real good terms with every member of the band. That's what he said.
Okay. So, well, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, did you poke and prod? Cause I would have, like, when was the last time you spoke to Dave, like that sort of stuff, or did you not get into the nitty gritty details?
I didn't ask that question. That would have been a good one.
I should be co-host on Talking Metal.
Yeah, I was a little nervous.
Quitting Metal Wraps. I'm coming over.
Oh yeah, anytime, or co-host anytime. But yeah, I was a little nervous even asking the one Megadeth question that I did get in there, since I knew he specifically, his PR person had mentioned he doesn't want to talk about Megadeth. But yeah, I didn't get that. I don't think he told me the last time he spoke with Dave, although maybe he did. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But he said he's on real good terms with all the members. I know he said that for sure. And again, he said, don't hold your breath. The only reason all these rumors are swirling is because, you know, their guitar player recently left.
And drummer.
Yeah, and drummer.
Because,
right.
Yeah, because that would open it up to like 1990 Rust in Peace and Nick Menza, Marty Friedman. Right. And then suddenly I've got like metal boner going, because like that to me was, you know, that album was just, I could listen to that album and never tire.
Yeah, that's the lineup that most people consider the classic Megadeth. For me personally, my two favorite Megadeth albums are the two before that.
I know.
Peace Sells and So Far So Good So What.
I know you're going there. Yeah. I was more of a newer guy, so like I'm sure, like Mitch, I'm sure you were a Rust in Peace guy over a Peace Sells guy. Am I right?
Yes.
See, I knew that. See, anybody who has more of a propensity to the hair metal like I do and Mitch does, yep, they're going to go Rust in Peace over Peace Sells, right, without a doubt. Well,
yeah, Rust. I mean, great records nonetheless. I mean, they're all just amazing stuff. And I for one, would love to see Marty Friedman back in the Megadeth fold.
So what's his music like for those who don't know? Like the story I sort of know, because it's sort of tangential to me, it was obviously Friedman, Becker, Cacophony, and crazy shredding. And then he joins Megadeth and I'm like, oh, it's going to be intense. They're going to be so heavy and like perfect now. And the, you know, that click track metal is going to be awesome. He leaves. All I remember after that for me is the haze of being a fan is like a Japanese pop moving to Japan. Is he like into the metal again? Has he been for a long time? I don't even know.
Yeah, we speak about that, and we, there's all these rumors about what he is and who he, you know, who he's become in Japan, and we tried to clarify that you know, he's a really, really big star in Japan. He does television shows like American Idol style shows. He is on radio, and I mean, it sounds like he's a superstar. And I actually said, are you a superstar in Japan? And he said, well, I would never use the word superstar. However, and then he went on to tell me everything that he does do. He's a session musician. He gets recognized when he walks down the street. I mean, it sounds like he's a really, really big deal in Japan.
Meanwhile, it's such a cliche. It's such a cliche.
Yeah, no, it is.
That.
It is.
And how do we not know in the day and age of the internet, like YouTube, how would we not know this? Like, wouldn't we see videos of him being like Simon Cowell in Japan?
Well, I think there are some videos.
Are there?
I mean, they call him the Ryan Seacrest of Japan.
Really? Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I think Rolling Stone referred to him as the Ryan Seacrest of Japan.
That's wild.
So, yeah, big name in Japan. And I mean, Is I mean, you're an internet guy. Is Japan not quite as internet savvy as other countries? Is that
no,
the case?
No, they're super connected. I mean, if anything, they've prototypically, Asian countries have been way further ahead in technology advances, mobile communications than anyone. So,
yeah, I recognize that. But I was reading something about podcasting and how they just haven't caught on in Japan like they have in other parts of the world, which maybe is because a lot of them are in English. You know, I don't know.
Inferno, is it an English album? Is it a Japanese album? Is it a metal album?
It's an English record, and we spoke about this. See, this was the record that he put out to reach out to his global audience, something he hasn't done really in over a decade. So anything that he's released in the last decade has been a Japanese-only release, and he signed with Prosthetic Records, and they not only put out this new record that they're, again, pushing to the global audience, but they are re-releasing all his records from the last 10 years, which have been only released in Japan.
Oh, man, what an amazing story. It is interesting in the day and age of connectivity and the internet that, like, a guy like that basically, for whatever reason, in North America, I mean, really a total silence to us.
Yeah.
Yep. It's so fascinating. Wow. Yeah. Mitch, what's been happening on One-on-One with Mitch LaFon? Who else? What do you got coming up? Who's on?
Wow. You know, I've got Seether coming up this week.
Nice.
And, you know, John Humphreys, the drummer for Seether, just such a great guy. And he was on that Kiss tribute album I put together. And we started talking about his other band, the Nixons. And he went into this long detail about how they opened up for Kiss on the reunion tour at Madison Square Garden. You know, great story for Kiss fans to hear. And of course, you know, Seether is one of these bands that when you have a conversation of what are the greatest bands around, the name doesn't come up often, but their album was Isolate and Medicate was number 4 on the Billboard this summer. They've had 2 top 10 singles since its release. They're on tour right now with Papa Roach. They're just doing great, better than a lot of the classic 80s bands. You know, when was the last time Kiss was top 10? So good for Seether.
Seether, eh? It's amazing.
Yeah.
You guys get to ask me who I've got on my new show because I have a new show now.
That's right. Yeah, you have an all bass player show. It's all about the bass.
It is, and
no
I got
treble.
I got a great one that I just did for it's called Groove, the No Treble Podcast. I have Leland Sklar. Do you guys know who Leland Sklar is?
A bass player.
He's a bass player. You're great. Awesome.
Good answer.
Show's done. So do you guys remember the Phil Collins videos with the bass player, long, long, crazy beard and the round glasses?
Yes.
I do remember, yeah.
So that's Leland Sklar. He's also, I mean, he's very well known for playing with James Taylor for over 20 years. But in our world, he's done stuff like he played with Sammy Hagar. He actually did a whole bunch of stuff with Toto. This guy's done 27,000 songs. He's been on over 2,500 albums. And he's done stuff with Steve Lukather, and on and on and on, but like insane. So that's going to be coming out in probably in a couple months, actually, because we're doing the show like monthly only. But it was, man, you speak to a guy like that who's done like rock, pop, everything. And the songs he's played on, it's insane. Like if you go and look, like his name is Leland Sklar, just go and look at this guy's discography and your jaw is going to hit the floor. So super excited about that. Before we cut out, I'd love to know what you guys are listening to and what's been catching your ear lately. Let's start off with you, Mark.
Oh, what I've been listening to. Well, I did get for Christmas on CD, actually, the Lynch Mob new EP, which came out. And as always, George Lynch, just for me personally, always delivers real great, high quality stuff. And this one's no exception. I think the guy's playing for a guy who's now in his 60s just sounds great. And the songs are so well written that's, you know, he's just the guy puts out so much music. And to me, it's 90% of it is usually, you know, excellent.
No, I totally agree. In fact, I got to tell you, 1992, the self-titled Lynch Mob album, Robert Mason was the featured vocalist on that one. And I had a chance to see those guys many times on that tour. I actually became friendly with him and the bass player Esposito. I can't remember his first name.
Anthony
Esposito, yeah. And in fact, we just recently reconnected on Facebook too. And I always thought that Robert Mason was one of the most amazing vocalists. Of course, he went on to do Warren now, but in between Warren and Lynch Mob, come on, Mitch, you ready? I got this one. Cry of Love, great band.
And he was also in Rat for a bit, and then eventually they threw him out and they chose Jizzy Pearl, but he did Rat. And he also does the voice on a Disney show about a band.
Oh, wow.
I forget what the band.
Oh, see, Mitch blows me away now.
I forget what that show is, but my kids would watch that show all the time. And I'd go, you know, that's the singer of Warrant. And they'd, of course, go, who?
But go back, you know, now that you, you know, Mark, now that you spoke about Lynchbob and listen to Tangled in the Web and Dream Until Tomorrow, killer songs. In fact, they do a cover version of Queen's Tie Your Mother Down on that album. Great album, released in 1992, primo rock metal.
Cool.
Mitch, what have you been listening to?
You know what? I've gone to Norway. I got off my Swedish kick.
What's going on? It's a world tour.
No, it's a world tour. It's the Scandinavian tour. You know, Wigwam's old singer, Age Stent Nilsson, has a new band called Ammunition. Album's called Shanghai. And I just think it's absolutely fantastic. I've been spinning it for the last week, 2 weeks. Track down all the bonus tracks that go with it. I'm just in love with the album. So Age Sten Nilsson, Ammunition.
So I got trapped on YouTube. Foo Fighters did a birthday bash for Dave Grohl in the round, and they had all these people come up on stage, including David Lee Roth, who did Panama and Ain't Talking About Love. Mm-hmm. And that sent me to go start listening to David Lee Roth solo stuff. And so I got trapped on Eden and Smile, because I always thought that's one of the greatest, shortest albums of all time. But if you want to go check out some of these videos, if you just sort of do a little YouTube search for it, they had Tenacious D. It's like Tenacious D, Foo Fighters, and Slash did the Immigrant Song. Yep. Paul Stanley of Kiss was there.
Yeah, he did Detroit Rock City and Love Me.
Do You Love Me? I was going to say Come On and Love Me, but it's Do You Love Me. Yeah. Yep. So very, very cool. And that sort of got me on a whole – and by the way, once we're talking about stuff to check out – even though you I know sometimes metalheads hear Foo Fighters, he did a documentary for his last album, Sonic Highways, that was on HBO, and every episode was an hour-long documentary about the city they were recording. And if you like hard music, punk, metal, whatever, check out this documentary. I mean, I binge watched this bad boy over the holidays. It was unbelievable too. Great, great series, amazing documentary.
Yeah. I did think in the LA edition though, they just didn't really touch upon LA metal as much as they should have, barely even mentioned it actually. And then they suddenly ended out in the desert with like the Caius guys, like very far from LA. So that episode, I only saw two episodes, but that episode I was slightly disappointed in. Actually.
I think it's because the LA thing was the Pat Smear, right? And that whole thing, the punk
germs
thing.
And stuff, which is awesome. And I'm not saying that isn't important. I just felt like, I guess it's, you know, it's about the Foo Fighters and how the scenes relate to them in a way. Right. So,
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Mitch, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I just I saw one episode and it was the Nashville episode. So I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, see, I like that episode, but you got to have a little bit of country in you to get through that
one. Yeah, and I don't. So I thought that was a bit tedious. And I was like, oh, figure it's the one episode I choose. It's the one that I would definitely not like. But hey, there you go. But Dave Grohl, you got to give it to him. He is the fan's fan. He loves music and he shows it, and good on him, you know.
Yeah, and I will say about that show, Sonic Highways, the producer of the show is a guy I used to work with at VH1 who has a band called Fireball Ministry. His name's James Rhoda, the Reverend James Rhoda.
Sure, that's a well-known band. That's very
cool. Yeah, he's the producer on that show.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, did not know that. Well, as always, guys, great chatting metal on Metal Wraps number 10. My name is Mitch Joel. You can always find me at Mitch Joel, or check out notreble.com, and you're able to find the first episode of the podcast, Groove, with Robert Trujillo from Metallica, which has been getting actually a lot of interesting press.
Yeah.
I suddenly find myself being a rock journalist again. Look at me.
Nice.
Mark, let people know where they can find you.
Well, talkingmetal.com, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter. The Twitter handle is just simply Talking Metal. And I wanted to mention that we've been putting this podcast, Metal Wraps, out over the One-on-One with Mitch LaFon stream and also the Talking Metal stream. However, after this episode, we are going to just make it exclusive to the Metal Wraps stream. So if you're listening on Mitch's feed or my feed, please go subscribe to Metal Wraps on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from.
That's right. Preview is over.
We've grown up. We've got wings. We're going?
That's right.
You're kicking the bird out of the nest, Mark?
Yes.
Well, it'll be an exclusive thing. Yeah.
Cool.
It made sense. And, you know, you can find me at Mitch LaFon on Twitter and on Facebook. It's One-on-One Mitch LaFon. There wasn't enough room to put the with in there. So there you go.
Awesome. And we'll be back, as always, with Metal Wraps number 11 super soon. Thanks, everyone.